Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live. The Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Do you think Nicolas Cage is underappreciated, overappreciated, or appreciated just enough as an actor?
I say totally underappreciated. Mm. You know, we were just talking about it because of Con Air, which I love that movie. Also love Raising Arizona, which he was in. But I think he's underrated, actually.
Is this who is this Ed Sheeran singing this song?
Yeah, with Elton John.
Oh, okay.
You go from asking me that question to now talking about the music.
No, I'm all over the place here. I heard that song and I was like, I know that voice. Who is that voice? And
then I figured it out. Yeah, I think that Nicolas Cage is very much appreciated. I don't think he's underappreciated. I think the only knock on Nicolas Cage is that he doesn't say no to a role, so he's been in a lot of like wacky things.
That's a good way to make a lot of money.
Well, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to know an underrated role, I'll give you an underrated role, and it's a Christmas movie, and could be one of my favorites of all time. It's called Trapped in Paradise.
Yes, I know it, yeah.
And it's Nicolas Cage, John Lovitz, and Dana Carvey. And they're three brothers that had heard about this bank that was so easily robbed in a town called Paradise, Pennsylvania, because the security guard was always asleep and the security cameras weren't working and the whole thing. So the guy gets out of jail, like, we got to go and knock this bank down in Paradise. They get stuck in a town. Everybody's too nice and everything else. And
there you go. See, that just shows you the range of Nick Cage.
Yeah. And I remember it was funny.
He was great in The Rock.
Oh, indeed. Yes, another good one. But I remember asking, I had John Lovitz in studio in Pittsburgh, believe it or not. And I asked him, I said, you know, I love this movie, Trapped in Paradise. He was like, oh, my God. We used to call it Trapped in Bleep. Crap. I said, why? He goes, it was the worst experience I ever had working on a movie because our director was a cokehead and he never came out of his trailer. And he would just sit in the trailer doing blow the whole time. We had to direct the movie ourselves.
Oh, wow.
I was like, wow. He's like, I can't even watch that movie. I'm like, oh, it's disappointing because I love that movie. And you guys were talking about SNL this morning and like the eras of things. I mean, to me, like the Mike Myers, Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman, Kevin Nealon, and then into Chris Farley, David Spade from there was that's my time of it. Like, been back with the Piscopo and Eddie Murphy and watching those back were very good too, but like that was the time.
The Chevy Chase and, you know,
and that, the original whole, cast,
the original guys, they were unbelievable.
But I think everybody has,
come on.
I know, but I mean, I think everybody has their own, me being younger, like that growing up with those guys like the Mike Myers, Dana Carvey, that whole deal. So anytime that we had an opportunity, because we had this deal with the Pittsburgh Improv, and some of these guys would come in, like Kevin Nealon came in, John Lovitz would come in, I get so excited to talk to those guys. I was like, oh, yes, absolutely have them in. Now, Rob Schneider came in, and that was a weird one. That guy spent an hour in the bathroom. I don't know what he was doing.
What do you think he was doing?
I don't know, man. It was weird. And he came in, and he was like making like a French press on the air and would not talk about comedy. He just talked about like international political relations.
Yeah, he's into geopolitics. Like, by the way, I was just reading this article. Nick Cage says he plans to say adios and quit film acting. Now, this was about a year ago. So he plans to retire from acting in films and has maybe three or four more movies left.
Doesn't Nicolas Cage is doing a biographical film where you would never think that they would pick him to be the guy? What is it? I just heard this. I think I even brought it up to you.
Yeah, you said it doesn't fit. For some reason, it didn't fit.
Like, really doesn't fit. It might have been, is it John Madden?
Yes, that's who it is. I think that's who it is.
Then Nicolas Cage is going to play John Madden?
Yeah, he's had an up and down career, but I still think when he's on, man, and he's great.
Yeah, this is what, yeah. Nicolas Cage to play NFL icon John Madden.
So much for retiring.
And a David O. Russell biopic. Do you think Frank Caliendo got mad at that casting? Because he was like, I'm the Madden guy.
So the problem is, though, if you saw him doing it, you would think that it's a comedy.
But this would be his time to cross over into being serious. Like, I could do it all. I mean, TBS gave him that TV show, and they promoted the hell out of it back in the day to showcase all his talents.
Yes.
He should be able to do this. I mean, Nicolas Cage is John Madden?
He'll pull it off.
I'm sure he will. He's a great actor, but that doesn't fit to me at all. I bet you Caliendo's like, he was definitely had his agent on that one when that was buzzing around. Come on, I could do it. I'm not gonna make jokes. I'll be serious. Like, so the John Madden story, like, what's the story arc of the John Madden biopic? You know what I'm saying? Like, you need some sort of conflict or something to have a... You can't just be like, John Madden had a great life. He didn't like flying.
Yeah.
He was a good head coach. He won that Super Bowl in 76. Became an iconic announcer in the video game. But like, what?
The biggest mistake he ever made was just not taking the shares in the video game and just taking the money up front.
Yes.
Because he didn't believe that the video game would turn out to be what it has turned out to be and still is.
Still is to this day. But seriously, like, what? Like, when you're doing the John Madden biopic, is it just like a feel-good story, an hour and a half of...
Yeah, it's like a Hallmark movie, I guess.
But, I mean, even in Hallmark movies, something bad happens.
Nah,
there's got to be some sort of conflict. But what's the thing?
I don't know.
Is there something in John Madden's past we don't know about that he overcame? You know, like you do these biopics, like the Johnny Cash movie or Elvis or some of these things. You're like, oh, my God, I didn't know about that. A John Madden movie. Everybody loved John Madden. Like they're going to do the turducken stuff?
I think they got to do all of that. I mean, coaching, TV. There may have been, you know, obviously the video game decision making. Yeah, sure.
It seems if you read the what's the film about, it seems to be about the video game. That after being fired by the Raiders, John Madden teams up with a mild-mannered Harvard programmer to rewrite his fading legacy by building the world's first football video game.
Huh.
That's from IMDb.
Well, that's a sad one, though, because then he ends up, even though he made a lot of money in broadcasting, but he got screwed out of it.
Yeah.
I guess I can kind of see
But that. I would think that he was a guy that not only did he make a lot of money in broadcasting, but just being John Madden in the offseason probably made him a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Like, Coach Cower is you know, in demand all the time, year-round.
Yeah, and Madden's one of those guys that, like, he really was who he was, right? Like, I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't like...
It's a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, but everybody seemed to have a favorable opinion of
him. Yeah, 100%.
It wasn't one of those things where, like, oh, John Madden's great on TV, but boy, behind the scenes, is you know, it wasn't like that at all.
He did a number of my games, man. It was great to meet him and Pat, you know, when you went in to go talk to them, you know, the day before the game and just kind of just get into football with them. It was hilarious. And when they did come to town, it was a big deal.
Who do you think was the bigger football announcer, or had the more illustrious football announcer career? John Madden or Howard Cosell?
Different. Totally different people.
And yeah, I know, but
different paths. To me, it was John Madden because of the Madden video game, without question. And Howard was, you know, he was big when he was doing it because he had Muhammad Ali was his guy. You know, they were best buddies.
Yeah.
So, like, he latched on to the most famous person in the world. And he was at everything that Muhammad Ali was doing.
Yeah, I was just talking from a football standpoint.
It's got to be John Madden. It's John Madden.
See, like Eddie's going, you don't know. Cause
yeah, that Monday Night Football.
With Don Meredith.
And from like 72 to like 81 or 2, that was
it. Was a crazy booth.
And those guys were gods.
Yeah. That's why I asked that.
Mike's, I remember one of the guys who used to work on Mike's show on Yes, used to talk about those days all the time.
Yeah, I know. They were crazy days. I know that. But I'm just saying that John Madden, to me, and I think to most casual football fans through the 80s and 90s, it's got to be him.
Oh yeah, I mean for me it is, but I wasn't around during the Cosell thing.
Plus the Madden video game just
that's a different conversation.
Yeah, but that's still a part of his personality.
No, but my point is just from a soul standpoint of calling football
games. It has to be him. You know, he did the Thanksgiving Day games, did all the Super Bowl. I did a lot of Super Bowls on different networks. I mean, it's got to be him.
And I think he did it at least what. 8 years more than Howard did.
Yeah, and you think about Pat Summerall, to me, is probably one of the most unselfish people in the history of our industry because he had to shelve his own ego to make that thing work the way it worked.
Man, just hearing those two voices together when I go back and watch clips, I mean, there's nothing made a game feel bigger than those two guys' voices.
Summerall was a player himself. A
kicker, yeah, right.
I mean, so, yeah, and, you know, he and Tom Brookshire were a hell of a pair, too, by the way. They had to break those guys up before they killed each other. And I don't mean that because they didn't like each other. It's because they liked each other too much.
Yeah, right, of course. Yeah, there was a lot of that stuff.
I mean, didn't they ride a horse up into the plaza?
I don't know that one.
Yeah, I think that's the story.
Rode a horse up into the plaza?
I think
the
so.
The Plaza Hotel?
Yeah.
So they took, like, up the stairs or the elevator?
The stairs.
They rode
Were
they on the same horse?
There's a story about that, yes. Like, they were having a good time. They always had a good time.
Yeah.
That was back in the days of the 21 Club.
Oh. Yeah.
The Plaza.
Heard about those things.
These guys were running.
Running wild.
Running dirty on the streets of New York City.
Running dirty. Maybe that's what I'll do today with all this time to kill. Maybe I'll ride a horse into the Plaza.
Maybe you should.
No, then I would definitely get arrested for that, right?
Now, well, who knows? Who knows?
Well, if I get arrested, they'll just let me right out.
No, they won't. Not you, they won't.
Quickly, let's go to Brandon in Bayside. What's going on, Brandon?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Gio, I know you've been mentioning John Gruden a lot, and there are a lot of people talking about Vrabel, and even... You know, Belichick's name came up before the UNC job. Why isn't anybody talking about Pete Carroll as an option for the Jets, like either in a team president capacity or even as head coach? It feels like he'd be the guy who would respect the ayahuasca stuff, first of all. And, you know, maybe they need a team president in there, you know, to get everything straightened out. What do you think?
Well, I mean, we had mentioned his name briefly in these whole things. I mean, he's definitely a guy that comes in instant credibility. I don't see Pete Carroll wanting to take on this undertaking, being a West Coast guy for as long as he's been now and coming back to the East Coast in his 70s to kind of sift through all the nonsense that's here. I would be excited if he wanted to do that and Woody hired him. I'd be excited for the Jets organization. I just don't think it's a fit right now.
You don't understand. So you have Belichick doing all this media. Why didn't Pete Carroll do some media? I don't even know if he is doing media. I've not seen him at all. I haven't seen or heard from him at all. Like, he has totally disappeared.
Like, you would have thought that Belichick would have disappeared and Pete Carroll be on every show, and it's been the opposite.
Yeah, it's been the total opposite. And maybe Pete's just enjoying his time if he's back down in Southern California. And
is he in the front office there at all with the Seahawks?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we have not heard from him at all.
Yeah, I wonder, maybe the reason why is because he's still in the organization.
I Googled it. It says he's teaching at the University of Southern California.
There you go. So he's loving his life and probably still surfing. One of the all-time great guys, man. One of the all-time
It greats. Does say advisor, though, by the way.
Is he?
It does say advisor.
I bet you if he had a chance to coach, I bet you he'd love to coach.
So he did regular surfing also, traditional, as opposed to just aisles?
Yes, you know. Yep. When he was on the airplane, he would come down the airplane.
That's the craziest thing I've ever
seen. Yeah, on a tray. The head coach of the Jets.
Some of the guys hold him back as soon as wheels down, let him go.
Yes. So we take it off, he'd be coming down, and landing, he'd be going forward. It was crazy.
Does it say what he's teaching? Does it say there?
It does not say.
Huh. I mean, if you're at USC, you got to take the course.
Maybe he could be teaching leadership, could be teaching, I'm trying to think, leadership. I don't know. What else?
Scorigami?
Maybe. I believe he's wise in many aspects, Pete Carroll.
Yep.
He will not start until the spring semester.
Oh, okay. So he's the advisor now and he'll start in the spring. All right.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Oh, there's the ferry you're going to be taking later. Look at it. There it goes. It's like that. You got to tell me where we're meeting again because I already forgot.
Brookfield Place.
Where?
Brookfield Place.
All right.
So you know where the fountains are for 9/11, the 9/11 fountains.
Yeah.
It's across the street from that.
Okay.
That's Brookfield Place. It's a beautiful shopping center and food center and everything else.
Okay.
And there's a couple of great restaurants over there. It's in Battery Park, and that's where the ferry is. Over
All
there.
Right, Brookfield Place. All right. Perfect. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Very good.
Be nice. It's going to be a nice day to be on a ferry and enjoy the water for 7 minutes.
It'll be like...
As opposed to dealing with the tunnel traffic for an hour and a half.
That's right. It's going to be
we're literally going 2 miles. Not even 2 miles.
I know. More people should take advantage of this.
Does this tunnel run like all through the night like the Staten Island Ferry?
Not a tunnel.
This is ferry.
No, run. It does not.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, so it's not an option not for an you option. Guys? Yeah. But then again, I mean, it wouldn't make much sense for you to... drive. I mean, the hours that you drive it in, right?
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to, you know, cut down on the $600 a month commute. It's going to be in January.
The Uber costs have exploded. You know, the congestion pricing now, the tolling, the gas tax. Man, you guys would be getting wiped out.
Yeah,
from
no
Jersey,
kidding,
man.
That's why it's comical when people from Long Island are complaining about congestion pricing.
We're in that boat together, man. Because, you know, with the exception of the three bridges down here, we got to pay tolls too.
Where?
Midtown Tunnel.
But you don't tolls. Have to. You can get into the city.
We go
no
over
problem
the 59th Street
tolls.
Bridge.
We can.
That's true.
Manhattan Bridge, Brooklyn Bridge,
but we're already paying state taxes on top of it.
So do we.
Listen. We're all being strangled by the people that
when you
are
go from paying nothing
there's
to paying
no
something.
About it.
No.
It's annoying.
I agree. And but when you go from 450 to 620. It's even more annoying.
And then when you see the, you know, $700 to $800 million a year due to fare evasion that's missing, that really pisses you.
Yeah. Well, maybe someone will step in. Maybe an orb will step in and get rid of this congestion pricing.
That's what they're here for. They're looking for all those paper license plates is what they're looking for.
Those Texas plates.
By the way, you know, when you think about all the speed cameras and the light cameras that are around, I mean, I'm probably already paying at least 6 or 7 of those tickets on top of parking tickets as well.
And thank God for Suffolk County, who got rid of their red light camera program. Somebody had a brain.
You know, there's that camera coming across the Manhattan Bridge.
Well,
they get
you
me
know,
all the time.
Well, if you know it's there, why do you?
I know it's there, but it's crazy, and it gets you like 6 or 7 miles over the speed limit.
Yeah, well, don't go over the speed limit if you know it's there.
I'm trying to keep up with traffic, so I'm assuming that if they're getting me, they're getting like 30 other people at the same time.
Well, they put in one over on Hudson.
But what I'm saying to you is that we don't even talk about that part of it. We only talk about tolls and congestion pricing.
Well, you can control the first one, that's
when
why.
When you think about parking tickets, you think about
you can
speeding
control that
tickets,
too.
You think about lights, you know,
and,
the light
yeah, you can control
cameras.
Don't run a red light, don't speed, and don't bark when you're not supposed to.
But... But what I'm also saying is that, okay, they've done all of that, and you know how much they say they do it in because of safety, and I guess that's part of it. But the other part of it is the amount of money that they bring in from that.
Do we know what the discount is if you get in before 5 o'clock? Have they decided that?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's significant.
And by the way, we're all being accepting of it. Like now, I guess we all believe that it's going to happen.
Well, what are you thinking about? Lighting myself on fire in front of Gracie Mansion. That's what I was going to do.
Well, not Gracie Mansion.
Draw some attention to it.
You need to go up to Albany.
Yeah, it's a long way, Albany. So I just figured if it's in front of Gracie Mansion, the story would get up there.
Call some of your Italian people up in Albany. Right?
Must be all of those guys have been fighting.
Set yourself on fire in front of Kathy Hochul.
Yeah, I mean, every one of those guys are fighting. All my politicians there in Suffolk County have been fighting it like crazy.
Same thing in Jersey. All you politicians, they got you looking up right now, so you're not even paying attention to congestion prices.
Right, that's why the drones are really here. So with the congestion price, it just goes through,
distraction.
And nobody fights it, and then it's too late.
Oh, no, we have been fighting. I feel like everybody's been complaining to their local politicians. They've been complaining. They've been trying to do it. I mean, I heard something about, I don't know if it was a rumor or not, that Trump was going to just get rid of it the second he got in office.
He did say that.
But that's why they're trying to push it through January 5.
They jammed it through right now, just like they're jamming everything through before January 20.
Well, why can't you jam it out? Why can't you jam it up the A-gap?
That's what you should do. You should be jamming it up the A-gap.
It is really the worst.
I mean, but our governor saved us 40%.
Oh, yeah, saved us 40% of something we weren't paying for yet.
Yeah, exactly. That was a beautiful press conference. Like, what? Who told her to say that?
I don't know. I mean, behind every idiot, there's seven more idiots,
Did she come up with that on her own?
Probably not. That's just so stupid. I mean, it does. It sucks. It's frustrating. But it'll be something if you get in before 5, so I usually get in after 5 because I'm listening to these guys in their first segment in the warm-up show, so I got to get over that bridge before 5 o'clock now.
Problem is, though, now everyone's going to think like that. You're going to be sitting in traffic.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I mean, I can't. There's just not that many people.
I just got to believe that the businesses on, up there around 60, 61st, 60, 63rd, north of where this whole thing is taking place.
Yeah.
Those parking garages up there are going to be filled. That whole area is going to be packed, I would think, because there's going to be a reaction to all of this in some way, shape, or form, and there's going to be some negative, collateral damage to it.
Like, what would happen if I parked my car right before I crossed into Manhattan and hopped on a horse and took the horse to work? What would happen then?
I don't know. You just better hope it's not raining or snowing.
But like during the summer.
On the Brooklyn Bridge, right?
Or rode a bike over the bridge.
Or did that.
That'd
be fine. But no, but the bike's a lot of work. Like hopping on a horse, not so much.
Where are you getting a horse from?
Yeah. I'd build a barn for it.
And by the way, you would stink.
What, like a horse?
Yes.
Yeah, but where are you leaving the horse when you come in here?
In the parking garage. With my man Esteban, take care of the horse for me. They'd do that. They'd feed it. It would probably lift their spirits. It'd be like emotional support horse for those guys in the garage.
Well, there's got to be stables somewhere.
Oh, who's picking up the road apples?
I mean, I think that just who picks up the road apples with the police horses? Nobody, right? They just sit there in the street. Nobody's picking that up. You don't get a poop bag for horse crap.
Gonna bring a plastic bag and pick that up.
I would think that they gotta pick it. They can't leave.
You might need a black trash bag.
Come on.
You've seen that? Like
those parades
and stuff?
Horses are up there around the Central Park and
they poop all over the place.
Yeah, no kidding.
So nobody's picking it up. You saying who's picking it up? Nobody. Just sits there. Like maybe when the street cleaners come through, they get it.
I'll tell you what. I am so glad that I'm not a horse. I don't think I'd ever go to the bathroom.
Why?
Because you'd have to do it in public.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I mean, presumably your brain wouldn't be working the same.
You'd be a horse.
You'd be a horse. Oh, my God. All right, Jerry.
It's almost the 23rd, guys. It's almost the 23rd.
No, it's not. No, we're not close enough. I decided that this morning.
You're close. Well, Eddie's the closest, but yes, you're getting there. We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. The Vikings did beat the Bears last night, 30-12. So Minnesota 12-2. Sam Darnold threw a touchdown pass to Justin Jefferson. Touchdown runs for Aaron Jones and Cam Akers. The Falcons beat the Raiders 15-9. So Vegas is 2-12, like the Giants. Assuming these two teams go 2-15, it'll come down to strength or lack thereof of schedule in terms of tiebreaker for the number one pick in the NFL draft. Dan Campbell spoke on 97.1, the Odyssey Sports Radio Station in Detroit this morning. Fair to say the Lions head coach is fired up. He says 11-game winning streak is over, and the reaction probably expected, but he certainly senses it.
What happens is, you get used to eating filet, and I'm talking to all of us, and well, everything's good. Life's good, you know, but you forgot what it was like when you had nothing and you ate your molded bread, you know, and it was just fine, and it gave you everything you needed.
And then he goes on to say,
your moldy bread?
Effing moldy bread. Yes. And this was on the radio, yeah. He goes on to say, losing, not a bad thing.
Sometimes you got to get punched in the mouth and remember what it used to be like to really appreciate where you are. And we'll do that. And so we got a bad taste in our mouth. We got kicked around the other day. We lost a few guys. And you know what? It's exactly what we needed.
And then he would go on to say, because a big talking point are all these injuries. And he is basically saying we will adapt and we'll win any way possible.
I don't give a crap if we got to win by 1 point for the rest of the year. That's what we're going to do. And I'm going to be happy about it. We come out of the game with 50 yards of total offense and we win by one, you're going to see smiles on my face. I promise you. All right? If it's the other way defensively, we give up 700 yards and we win by 1 point, you're going to see a smile from my ear to ear.
Jesus, chill out. Guy's lost the game. Relax.
Yeah, but he's fighting. He's fighting, as we all like to say, the narrative.
Yes.
The narrative surrounding them is the fact that, like I was saying this morning, they're going to hang on. They're going to make the playoffs. I don't know how deep they're going to go into the playoffs. The question is, can they hang on to the division title and the number one seed? And my sense is, no, they can't, because I don't think their defense is going to be good enough. That's the narrative.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
He's fighting that.
Do you think he really ate moldy bread, or that was just an analogy? Like, did he grow up in poverty?
I don't know. I have no idea.
The way he said it sounded like he had true experience.
Maybe he did.
Was he Oregon State? I think I want to say that he went to Oregon State. And he's from Oregon, maybe.
That would solve our problem if he grew up in poverty.
I can't find it. I had one of these players last week. Oh, yeah. Talking about it. This is Xavier Leggett, or Leggetti. I don't know how you pronounce it, from the Panthers. So he was on a podcast. If I can find it here, come on, where is it? Yeah, damn it. Here it is. Here's the question from, it was the Amon-Ra St. Brown podcast.
What's your hottest food take? So, like, is there something weird that you like to eat, or something you don't like to eat that you can never eat that most people would eat? You know, like, what's something in the food industry that you know, that you have a weird opinion on?
All right. So then he thought for like a split second in his answer.
Are you raccoon?
You what?
I didn't see that.
I said, oh, what do you mean raccoon? Like the raccoon?
Like a raccoon that you see in the trash.
Okay. Where do you even eat that at? Where do you even get that?
I hunt it. I kill it. I skin them. Cook them. Eat them. All it.
So when was the last time you had a raccoon?
Thanksgiving.
I'll tell you what, it sounds like Shannon Sharp.
And that's right.
Yes.
And you've told that story many times.
Oh, yeah, possum and everything else.
Yeah.
By the way, so, Dan Campbell went to Texas A&M. He's from Texas.
Wait, hold on. Are you allowed to hunt raccoons?
Depends on where you are in the country.
You're going back to Eddie. He's still on the raccoons.
No, but I just, like, I know I can't be shooting raccoons for the hell of it out on Long Island. I know much.
But, yeah, but if you, I'm sure, where's this young man from?
I don't know. I do not know.
Shannon used to say he grew up really dirt poor, and his brothers used to go out and shoot possum and all
sorts. Imagine that guy's family. Like, you made it to the NFL, man. We don't need to eat raccoon on Thanksgiving anymore. Can we do something else?
Yeah, pretty wild.
You can hunt raccoon in most states, but only during certain parts of the hunting season.
Okay.
According to Google.
Yeah, Brian Jones is the same way. He used to eat all sorts of roadkill growing up. He used
crazy.
To tell me.
Yeah.
He said, crazy. He could eat a squirrel today, he said. Like, oh. No problem.
You know what? We sit there, we eat animals. Like, we always talk about this. Like, what's the difference between us? Just the way we grew up.
Yeah, my animal's got to be a Wagyu.
Jesus, God. The Nets lost to the Cavaliers 130-101. In our remaining time, do you want to hear the Travis Hunter girlfriend clips or no?
Yeah,
I do. So, we know all that went on. The not my type comments, things of that, all the imagery from the game. So here is why she explains why she didn't date him immediately, because the narrative's out there of a different reason.
When he first ever DM'd me, when we first met, I said I left him in my DM for 2 months. And people said, oh, she left him in his DM until she figured out who he was. That is not true at all. The real reason Travis sat in my DM for 2 months is because he DM'd me when he had a girlfriend.
And then she goes on to say, not interested in a committed guy.
I don't do homewrecking. I'm not a side piece. I don't stand for any of those things. I support women. So I would never do that to another woman because I would never want it done to me.
And then she would go on to address the he's not my type comment that she made on video.
When I said he wasn't my type, I meant because he was younger than me. I had never dated no one younger than me. And he had cheated on his girlfriend. I don't know if your type is cheaters, but mine isn't. So no, he wasn't my type at first off of those two things. But that didn't discredit the fact that I was attracted to him. That's obviously why I gave him a chance.
And here we are.
And here we are, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was interesting.
I don't know. She addressed, I saw some of her quotes too about like, you know, I didn't know if I should stand up or not when he got the Heisman, you know, and I thought maybe I'd be stealing some of his spotlight if I stood up. I'm like, what? You're just making stuff up now.
Yeah, the whole thing was a little bizarre.
This is weird.
Rangers in Nashville tonight, Devils and Blues, and you got the Islanders of Carolina, St. John's, DePaul, Seton Hall, Villanova. Time now for Moment of the Day, brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. Last hour, we played a clip from the new Aaron Rodgers documentary where he was discussing the idea of allowing himself to be emotional. He's saying that makes you more of a man and a more of a complete man when you can tap into your feminine side and be vulnerable.
You put on high heels?
I mean, that,
I don't think that's what he means.
Oh. But how do you...
He's a jackass.
Like, how do you tap into your feminine side? Like, what, like make a big deal out of nothing? What are the other ways that you could tap into it?
Fight purely with emotion with no facts.
Yeah.
It is ludicrous how much of a woman I am.
Right. Don't listen to a thing that the man is saying and put words in his mouth. Is that a way to tap into your feminine side?
I'm just trying to think, like, who the next Jet coach is going to be. You think, like, him and John Gruden could sit down and break some bread?
What are you talking about, that feminine thing, man? What was that all about? Huh? Trying to be a woman, man? I know that's trendy right now. I got things I got to know, man. You transitioning, Aaron? You know what's going on here? You taking those hormones? You chop that penis off?
There you go. Moment of the day. Have a good Tuesday, everybody.
Oh, when you come in, you never know where the stories are going to go. And
I found
Gruden.
That I enjoy doing more what traditionally were women activities.
John Gruden talking about Aaron Rodgers transitioning was not something.
You had that on the sheet today?
No, we did not. You gotta watch Gruden with the Barstool Golf guys if you're someone who likes John Gruden and that stuff. If you haven't already, it's so good. He does that thing too where he thinks like he was the one who discovered the Ric Flair woo. You know, even though everybody's been doing it for. He's like, who does that thing, man? And he goes, woo! Who's that wrestler, man? Ric Flair. We should start doing that when something good goes our way, just to piss him off. You know, really get him annoyed. Like make a big putt, go woo! You know, right in their face, man. Ric Flair. It's like, yeah, we all know Ric Flair does woo, John. You didn't just discover this. It's been going on since the 70s. Like, we got it. But he is tremendous. If he came here as a Jets head coach, I would just, you know, I'd start covering the team for free.
Be gold.
I'd go to Florham Park every day for free.
I think we'd have to get season tickets.
Oh, my God. Yes. And you know what? We wouldn't be the only ones.
Right.
Lots of people would be buying them.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
There were lots of viewers last night on Monday Night Football that were concerned when they saw Troy Aikman's bloodshot eyes. Now, I believe this is something that people have noticed in the past. I don't think it's as serious when you see bloodshot eyes as you do when you see, like, yellow in the eyeball. But, yeah, people now are just diagnosing everybody on television by watching them. Now, Troy Aikman is a very healthy individual, keeps himself in shape. You could get bloodshot eyes from just about anything. You know?
There are eye drops that you can take to get rid of those bloodshot eyes.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he didn't sleep well. You know, I mean, people, I don't think he's smoking weed before the game, but people get bloodshot eyes from smoking weed. It's just a thing that happens. You know, but I think everybody
doesn't remind me of a guy that, like, I wouldn't think that he's smoking weed before a game.
Yeah, I don't think so either. That's what I said. I don't think he would, but I mean, I'm just naming the numerous things that you get bloodshot eyes from. You know?
Lack of sleep.
Yeah. Like, Alan Jerry were going through, like, all his personal problems. I thought that was inappropriate this morning. Like, they were just going through divorced, and he's got daughters that are going. I mean, I was like, Jesus, man. You never know how that's going. I was like, they were really diving deep into all the reasons why Troy Aikman might not be sleeping at night.
Jerry's just saying his daughter's of age. You know, sometimes girls are tough, you know, growing up.
But he also went to divorce. He went through that whole thing.
He did, yeah.
And why he could be having bloodshot eyes. Yeah.
I would say a lack of sleep, mainly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Late at night.
It is late at night.
I was thinking about it. We had a Christmas night game. So it was Christmas Day, and we played on a Monday night game in Minnesota.
Okay.
And it was 1989. And because there weren't a lot of Christmas games that had been played, but we were one of the teams that, you know, obviously fell on Christmas Eve that night. And the game started at 9 o'clock at night. That, you know, that was back when Monday Night Football was 9 p.m. Ugh.
You know, it's funny that you bring this up today, because last night I'm putting on the Viking game, and even though I've stayed up many times, I was thinking, like, when these guys are running around and I'm watching them warm up, I'm like, how do they handle game days with these night games?
It's not easy.
Like, do they, because it's a game day and it's probably jacked up, so they're probably getting up early in the morning. Do they sleep in? Do they take a nap?
I think everybody normally gets up at a normal time because they're excited it's game day. And then you got to try to get back to your room, and you got to try to do what the hockey players do and take a nap during the afternoon.
Because if I had to.
You have to try to do that.
I mean, if I had to do something physical at like 8 o'clock at night,
yeah,
I'm done. There's no way.
Trying to think. I was normally getting up like I normally would, like at 6:30, 6 in the morning.
Really?
I would go down and have an early breakfast, go over some, you know, tape or film, try to walk around a little bit, get up, get the blood going, go back, watch a movie, have some lunch, take a nap.
It's got to be
tough.
And
then somewhere around probably 5 o'clock, you'd have your pregame meal.
It's got to be tough, though, to like when you have a big national game. And because it's a night game, so it's obviously going to be a national game, to like be able to take a nap before that game. You got to be all jacked up, right?
You are, but you have to take it easy. And, you know, I don't know. It's just the 9 o'clock start. I remember the East Coast 9 o'clock starts were killers.
Yeah, no, I remember growing up. I'm glad they don't do that anymore. But
I think
up,
they changed that when I actually took the job at Monday Night Football. I think they moved it up. I can't deal with this.
Yeah, it was just way too late for the East Coast. Just no way. Yeah, but just but then I thought to myself, like, what a silly thing to be like, oh man, these guys got to really figure out how to play at nighttime. You know, it's like, all right, it's once a week and they get paid a gazillion dollars. But I just, it is, it's got to be tough to make those adjustments.
I don't know what the basketball teams do, but I do know the hockey teams.
Always napping, yeah.
Well, but they usually have a morning skate.
Right.
And the morning skate's usually, you know, sometimes it's optional, sometimes, you know, depending on how a team is doing, you know, the coach is like, you're going to get your ass there and we're going to have a morning skate.
That's right.
So, you know, and then most of those guys take naps during the afternoon.